Thank you, Sherry and John and Mac. That hymn was chosen with this whole story of Daniel in mind. And verse 3 talks about the delight of before his throne in prayer, kneeling, communing. Daniel, I don't know if you got to read it this week. I recommended that you do. Hope you did. But Daniel, this is what caught my attention reading this over in the latter part of the chapter. The Lord said to Daniel, as soon as you purposed in your heart, I heard you. And the Lord came and showed him a sight of Christ. I was going to sing that hymn this morning, Be Thou My Vision. And I thought, no, I'll wait next Sunday when we look at Daniel's vision. You're in for a treat, I hope. The Lord will bless us. I was going to look at the whole book of Daniel, but I started reading it. Wednesday night, we're going to look at him in the lion's den. That we need to, for our comfort, for Christ's glory. This is all about Christ. And all about his people who are with him, like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We're going to look at three parts of this message. Today will be Daniel as a type of Christ. And then Wednesday night, Daniel among lions. And then the last one will be Daniel the Beloved, the Blessed Man. Modern religion thinks this book is only a book of prophecy, as they do all the Old Testament. They think it's just an Old Testament book of laws and morals and prophecies and so forth. God's people know that they are they which testify of Christ. To him give all the prophets witness. God's people know that. As every prominent man in Scripture, even some women, are types of Christ. Like Esther. Oh, what a type of Christ she was. Abigail. But Adam, Noah, Moses, Joshua, David, none more so, Joseph, none more so than Daniel. No one in Scripture is more a type of Christ than Daniel. In fact, the Lord doesn't give any faults of Daniel. Doesn't show any faults. You know he's a sinner. You know he was born that way. And my hope and my prayer, though, is that this will be more than just an interesting study. More than just, oh, that's good. That's the danger of types. You go away amazed with the type, and you're not amazed with the Lord Jesus Christ. And my hope and my prayer, though, is that the Lord will put His kingdom in us, and us in His kingdom, and cause us to see the King of Kings. All right? The first thing in this first chapter, and be not alarmed, but I'm going to go through five chapters. Not every verse. Not even close. But in this first chapter, we'll see the appearance of Daniel, his character and purpose as he represents Christ. The appearance, character, the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ as seen in Daniel. Now, these people were in captivity. Look at verses 1 and 2. The Jews, they in the third year of Jehoiakim. You remember the story of Jehoiakim? This is significant. Jeremiah, you know, was in captivity at the same time. Jehoiakim's the fellow that kept cutting the Bible apart, throwing it in the fire, doing away with Scriptures. So the people, Jehoiakim was the king. They didn't have Scripture. They were in darkness. Why? Idolatry. Sin, like Romans 1. This begins like Romans 1 does. God left them. They weren't worshiping the true God, so God darkened their understanding and left them in this darkness. But He sent somebody Daniel sent him among these captives. He's the deliverer. Daniel's the deliverer. Nebuchadnezzar can represent Satan himself. But the Lord, in verse 2, gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. People were in captivity. And because of their idolatry, because of their sin, just like this world, just like this nation we live in. We live in a captive land. People held captive by Satan at his will, according to the will of God, because of their idolatry and their sin. But by decree, look at verse 3 and 4, the king issued a decree to bring certain of the children of Israel, the king's seed, to bring certain children of the king's seed in to this captivity. Children in whom is no blemish, well-favored, skillful in wisdom and knowledge, understanding science, ability in them to stand in great wisdom, honor, and integrity. In the decree of the king, he brought in children of the king's seed. Well, by the eternal decree of God Almighty and his purpose before the world began to have a kingdom, he brought in, and to populate this kingdom, he brought in his only begotten son, firstborn among many brethren, King of kings, Lord of lords. And all of his people are predestinated to be in his image, who we're going to see, Daniel says, without spot, without blemish, perfect, able to stand before kings. That's Christ. That's Christ. The first mention of any of these children of the king's seed is verse 6. Now, among these children, the king's seed, children of Judah, David's line, Daniel. Who's mentioned first? Who has the preeminence here? Daniel. And then Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Daniel is mentioned first because Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. And here on in this, are you listening? Here on in this book, if you don't, I've already lost it. But here on in this book, these three fellows are mentioned with him all the time. They're with him all the time. In fact, in chapter 2, verse 18, it says, Daniel and his fellows. Daniel and his fellows. Wherever you find Daniel, you find his fellows. Daniel's mentioned first, and his fellows, his friends. They came in because Daniel was brought in. And all their salvation is in Daniel. That from then on, they are mentioned with Daniel. Daniel is their wisdom. Daniel is their righteousness. Daniel is their acceptance before the king. Daniel is their understanding. Daniel is everything to them. Daniel reveals everything to them. Daniel and his fellows. Need I comment on that? Christ and his fellows. He said, I call you friends. And remarkably, Stan, he chose three fellows, didn't he? James, Peter, and John. Took them up onto that and showed them a secret that was hidden from everybody else. Christ and his fellows. He said, I call you friend. I don't call you servant, but I call you friend because I make known the mind of God to you. Daniel's purpose in coming. Now, the name Daniel, you know what it means? The name Daniel means judge of God. Not one who judges God, but the judge sent of God. The one who sent of God to be the judge. The one with wisdom. The one with understanding. The one with discernment. The judge of God. The one whom we go to. Everybody at this time is going to go to Daniel to understand. Even the king, John, even the king didn't know anything until Daniel told him. And Christ has come. That's what the woman at the well said. When he's come, he'll show us all things. Daniel means the judge of God. And did not our Lord Jesus Christ say in John chapter 5, the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. Anytime you see the little letters EL at the end of a name or AH, that's the name of God. Elohim. AH is Yah or Yahweh, Jehovah. He bore the name of God, the judge of God. And oh, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh and called his name Emmanuel or Daniel, the judge of God. Daniel's purpose, verse 8, look at Daniel's purpose. Daniel in verse 8 purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. And he requested of the prince of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. The king here, who represents Satan, gave every one of his dainties, the king's dainties, the meat and the wine of this god of the world, this god of Babylon, this king. He gave of everyone his dainties. And Scripture says that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes are of the devil. Pride of life. The dainties, the things of this world, which he uses to entice the people of the world, to fill them with, and which all are full of. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the things of this world, and filled with, not the Lord Jesus Christ. Said he came to Satan. Satan came to him and found nothing in him. Had nothing with which to entice him of his dainties. And Christ came purposing in himself not to defile himself. Oh, in fact, the Scripture says he's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. This is the Holy One of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. His meat, his drink, was to do the will of God. We drink iniquity like the water of the dainties, don't we? Thanks be unto God that he sent Christ as our covenant head, our righteous representative, to not partake of these dainties, but to be our holiness, to be our righteousness. That was his purpose in coming, to represent his people. Daniel's character, verse 9. Daniel, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of eunuchs. That caught you, didn't it? God brought Daniel into favor and tender love. Of Christ, it was said. I just read this again this morning. When he was a young man, he grew in wisdom. And says the Spirit of God was on him and grace was on him. Oh, may the Lord do that for our young men and ladies. But it says our Lord, when he grew up, he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. In favor with God and man. So much so that he stood before everyone as a man. Think about this. Think about this. Can anybody find any fault in me? Think about that. They found no fault in him. Even his enemies. Pilate wanted to find something wrong with him. He could not find one thing wrong with this man. Oh, my. My. Because his meat and his drink, and this will carry over into our message on the last message on Daniel was a man. Daniel was a man. Daniel was just a man. But God said, nobody could find any fault with him. I want to be like that. Why? Well, that's another message. But Christ came. He came. And his meat and his drink was to do the will of God. Verse 12, it says, he said, prove me. We'll just eat pulse and water. You remember that message? We devoted a whole message to that years ago. Give us pulse and water. And prove us. Christ, his meat and his drink, pulse is the word of God, water of life. And it says in verse 15, after several days of beholding him and his fellows, they were fatter and fairer than all the children that eat the king's meat. Our Lord is the fairest of 10,000, the bright and morning star, because in him is no sin. Fairest, fatter, oh my, fat things and wine on the lees were his constant diet. My meat and my... I know he was lean of flesh. But oh, he was fat in spirit. Largeness of heart. You remember that scripture, don't you, in Psalm 106? That the Lord gave them their request of things, but he sent leanness to their souls. Better to be lean of body and fat of soul. Our Lord was fairer, is fairer than 10,000. Verse 17, Daniel, God gave them, these four children, knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Daniel, who represents the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom dwelleth all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. None like Daniel, verse 19 it says. The king observed them, and among them all was found none like Daniel. There's nobody like him. This place has never seen a man like Daniel. And this world, this earth, has never seen a man like the Lord Jesus Christ and his fellows. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I remind you, and you already know this, but maybe you've forgotten. Their names, their proper names, were given by God. Hananiah, that's the name of God. Mishael, Elohim. Azariah, Jehovah. The Chaldeans gave them names that have no meaning. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have no meaning. Useless, vain names. Belteshazzar, you can't find the meaning of them. But now these fellows were sons of God. No matter what the world called them, God said, they're my sons. They're my son. None like Daniel and his fellows. None like Christ, these chosen ones. They were with Daniel. And it says in verse 19, they were all standing before the king. Standing before the king. These chosen ones. And in all matters, verse 20, of wisdom and understanding that the king required of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers in all his realm. The only fellows that he had in his realm were a bunch of phonies. A bunch of phonies. Wizards that peep. Isaiah said. Nebuchadnezzar, chapter 2. We made it through that about 10 minutes. Chapter 2. We have the wisdom and knowledge of Christ as seen in Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar, this heathen king of Babylon, had a dream, verses 1 and 2. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep broke from him. He couldn't sleep, as so many people have trouble doing. dreaming dreams that troubled him, and his sleep break from him. Verse 2. The king commanded all his magicians and astrologers and sorcerers, the Chaldeans, who were supposed to be known for their wisdom, their knowledge, their understanding and mystery. And he called for all of them to show him his dream. And not one of them could tell him what his trouble was. Man, Scripture says, turn to Isaiah 8, which I just quoted one verse from. Isaiah chapter 8. Man, Scripture says, that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. His thoughts, man's thoughts, his dreams, his heart is filled with trouble. Because our God said there will be no peace for the wicked. Isaiah 8, there will be no peace for the wicked. Those that forget God, those that reject Christ, those that do not like to retain God in their knowledge, those that don't worship God, God said there will be no peace. I will not give them any peace. And they'll lose sleep. And their thoughts will trouble them, their dreams, their hearts will fail them. Literally, heart failure, which is due mostly to stress. Why is that stress upon them? God's angry. Isaiah 8, verse 19 says, "Then when they say unto you," God speaking to His people, "seek unto them that have familiar spirits." People, they're the only wise men, the only wise counselors, the only ones who have any wisdom must get it from above. It must be the Spirit of God. A man, a so-called preacher or whoever, prophet, apostle, is either led by one spirit or another. Spirit of God or another spirit. Familiar spirit. Read on. "Don't seek unto them that have familiar spirits, unto wizards that peep." Oh my. I was listening to some of these fellas, a couple of them, and you know, you've heard them, you've seen them. You can't believe how familiar they are with God. Heard one of them say, "I know God, I know, I'll tell them that." You know how many millions of people follow them? The whole world does until God puts a Daniel, Christ, in your midst. And Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah. Verse 19 says, "Wizards that peep and mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? Should not the dead seek to the living?" That's what that's saying. The living to the dead. Should the living, God's people, turn to these dead people? Verse 20. "To the law and to the testimony." God's word. The prophets, the apostles, the gospel. "If they speak not according to this word," they don't have any light. They can't give you any light. They can't give you any counsel. They can't relieve you of any trouble. They don't even know the trouble. They don't know the dream. None of these fellows knew what the dream was. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar said, "You tell me what the dream was, and you tell me the solution to the dream, and I'll know, God, that you have some wisdom." They said, "Nobody knows what you're thinking." In the whole chapter 2, they all said, "We can't know what you're thinking. How can we answer you if you don't tell us a dream? If you'll tell us a dream, we'll tell you the answer to it." He said, "No, you're just buying time." That's what, if you read it, he said, "You're just buying time. You're a bunch of fakes. If you can tell me the dream, then you can tell me the answer to it." They didn't know the problem, and they didn't know the answer. And what a picture that is. Men don't know the trouble. Why do we stand up Sunday after Wednesday after Sunday after Wednesday and talk about the problem, the trouble? Why do we talk about sin? Why? Because holy, holy, holy is Isaiah 6. This is Isaiah 8. It's after that, isn't it? After holy, holy, holy. After chapter 1. The Gospel of John, It's later, isn't it? After all the woe. Because the fear of the Lord's beginning with. And look at chapter 8, verse 21. Says, they'll pass through this world hardly bestead and hungry. It'll come to pass. They'll be hungry. They'll fret themselves, curse their king and their God, and look upward looking for some help. They'll look to the earth. They can't find anything. Just trouble and darkness and dimness of anguish. They'll be driven to darkness and drugs and despair, and on it goes. Because they can't find anybody in this world that can give them an answer. But God sent a man named Daniel. He knows the trouble and he knows the answer. Christ said, you will not come unto me that you might have life. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me. But I am come that they might have life. And I am come to show you that you didn't even know the problem. I'm come to show you your problem. It's your sin. And you nothing you can do about it. But I'm the answer. I'm the way. I'm the truth. And I'm the life. I'm the way. The wise men of this world, the so-called, hath not got regrown. 1 Corinthians 1. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Paul called it science, falsely so called. Because they're studying the origin of things, and if you don't begin with God, you don't have a clue. You want to know something about man, sociology, anthropology? You don't begin with man, you begin with God. In the beginning, God created. That's where it all started. The secret that was revealed unto Daniel is a secret and made known unto his friends. The secret. Christ said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babe. Colossians 2 says, in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ, the Word, is the discerning power of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Christ came by His Word and He reveals the very thoughts and intents of our heart. What was the secret? What was the... And this is the key to the whole book of Daniel. The key to the whole book of Daniel. What was the secret? What was the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had? So look at verses chapter 2. Verse 31 through 33. This is Daniel telling him his dream. He said, King, this is what you saw. O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. And this great image, his brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible, and the image's head was of fine gold, his breast, his arms of silver, his belly, his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet, part of iron and part of clay. It's a man. Some say Nebuchadnezzar made an image later of himself and put it up. A man. Okay? Daniel says, this dream that you saw is of a kingdom. Many kingdoms, actually. Three kingdoms he spoke of. That these kingdoms were made of gold. Seemed beautiful. Silver, of beauty. Some of clay, not very strong. Some of iron, very strong, very lasting. Kingdoms, the kingdoms of this world. Here's the key. Here's the key to the whole book of Daniel. And this is what Daniel revealed. And the rest of the book is about. That there are many kingdoms. Kingdoms of men. And that's all men are, is men. And he goes on to say that the Most High ruleth among the kingdoms of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And sets up over them the basest of men. And the king makes these kingdoms to last for however long he intends for them to last to serve his purpose. But now look at verse 34 and 35. And you saw, he said, King, you saw a stone. It ought to be capitalized. You saw a stone cut out without hands. And this stone smote the image upon his feet. That is, broke the foundation right out from under it. And break it into pieces. Verse 35, then the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, didn't matter what these kingdoms were made of. They all fell. Broken to pieces. And the last line of verse 35, the stone that smote them was an image, became a mountain that filled the earth. Oh my, look at verse 44. And here it is. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. When Jesus Christ came, what did He come preaching? What did He reveal? First thing, Christ came preaching. First thing, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's that? I'm here. The King of kings is here. The Lord of lords is here. Wisdom is here. God is here. Emmanuel. I have a kingdom, and I'm come to gather my subjects. I'm come that they might have life. I'm come to bring them righteousness. I'm come to make peace by the blood of my cross. I'm come to represent them. I'm come to be their holiness. I'm come to be their righteousness. I'm come to be their wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, to bring them to stand before the King, to bring them into this kingdom. I'm the King. I've come to find my subjects. I have a kingdom. You can't see it. You can't even see me, he said at the time. He stood before Pilate. He stood before everybody. They didn't know who he was. But his subjects do, don't they? His fellows do. They know who he is. He's the King. The key to the whole book of Daniel. Kingdom. Kingdom come. Didn't he say, pray this, thy kingdom come in me. Set up thy kingdom in me. Bow my knee to the King. Kingdom, eternal future kingdom, present kingdom. You're presently reigning. The kingdom forever, the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's what Christ came revealing and preaching, Himself and this eternal spiritual kingdom. And it said in verse 47 of Daniel, of his great wisdom, and verse 47, the king answered and said unto Daniel, of a truth it is, your God is God of gods and Lord of kings. Revealer of secrets. Nothing is hidden from you. And he made Daniel, verse 48 and 49, he made Daniel a great man and made him, says in verse 48, ruler over it all. Made him ruler over it all. Who can this be speaking of but the Lord Jesus Christ? I hope you're enjoying them. And as I said in the outset, what I hope the Lord will do through this is make somebody in here see there's a kingdom, and it's unseen. And Christ is right now reigning and ruling over that kingdom, and He's making up His subjects, and you need to be in that kingdom. And you can't put yourself in that kingdom. And you need to cry out unto Him. Verse 49, this is what happened. Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the true names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He set them over the affairs. In other words, because of Daniel, they were made kings and priests unto God. Chapters 3 through 5. Okay, breathe easy. I'm going to let you go. Oh, boy. Man, what do we got to do? What do we got to do? Where have we got to go? Chapters 3 through 5 talks about false religion. Some may say, you talk too much about false religion. Then do away with half the Bible. Do away with it. Especially the Old Testament. Do away with the whole Old Testament. Because the whole world and even Israel was steeped in it. Steeped in it. And this was the problem. John, this is why they were in captivity. Religion wasn't the answer. It was the problem. It wasn't the answer back then. It's not the answer now. It's the problem. There's only one truth, and it's Christ. Anything else is wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to come down. It doesn't matter how beautiful. Remember the image was gold? It looks beautiful. Silver, costly. Has feet of clay. Feet of clay. It's going to come down. There's a stone which the builders rejected, which is Christ. And His reign and His rule and His sovereignty, that Christ is all, and there is no other way that Christ is, that they all reject it. It doesn't matter, because God has set this, it's becoming a high mountain, a stone you can't get over. Christ said, if any man fall on this stone now, he'll be broken, and he'll be saved. But, if this stone falls on you, it'll be ground to powder. Better now to fall on the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast yourself upon His mercy now, before He falls on you. But in chapters 3 through 5, read chapter 3, verses 1 and a few other verses with me quickly. Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold. He made an image this time. First was a dream, but now he made an image. He made an image of gold, very high, very tall. And Nebuchadnezzar, verse 2, the king gathered together princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made this image. And verse 3, and the princes and governors and captains and judges and treasurers and counselors and sheriffs and rulers. In other words, everybody that was anybody came to the dedication of this great image. Everybody who was anybody in Babylon. Need I tell you that Babylon represents not just false religion, but this modern godless world. Like Egypt of old, like Syria. Modern, civilized Babylon had all the technology. Babylon was full of counselors and wisdom, but they were fools. Nobody knew God. And it was corrupt, full of filth and wickedness. And he set up this image. You know what this image was? And everybody got together to worship this image. You know what this image was? A man. A man. And people, behind all false religion is the great God, free will. Call it what you may. Maybe in the name of God, Jehovah, maybe in the name of Jesus. But behind it all is the glorification of man. His will. His choice. His works. His righteousness. What He does for God, what He does with Jesus, what He lets God do, who He makes Jesus to be, Lord. This great, and everybody that's anybody, not many wise men, not many mighty, not many noble are called to Christ, but the whole world goes after this God of free will. Man, Satan set it up in the garden. Satan set it up, whom Nebuchadnezzar represents here. Set it up in the garden. He said to the woman, and it's a religion of women, says the great whore. Many silly women lead captive, mostly. Their gods are... And Satan set it up, this image of man. He said to the woman, and he's saying to all mankind, from then on, he's saying, you can know, you have a choice. I know what God said, but He didn't really mean that. You won't die. You have a choice. You have free will. You have empowerment. Don't they love that word today? You have empowerment. Our religion will give you empowerment. The truth will show you where the power is. show you where the wisdom is in Christ. In Christ alone. It will show you have no power at all. That's what the truth does. It breaks you and brings you down to show you have no power at all. You have no wisdom at all. You have no righteousness at all. You don't have a choice. All you choose is evil. Man died in the garden, worshiping the image of himself. They've been worshiping it ever since, and that's what false religion is doing today. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency and raise up the free will of man. I'm not exaggerating this. Read it. Oh, but three men. Look at this in chapter 3. Three men. Daniel, God gave him names, sons of God. Three men, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, said, "We won't bow. Let the whole world go after him." This king in verse 15 said, "Be ready now." And everybody, we're having a countywide meeting. All the religions are get together. Different faiths. Everybody of different faiths is getting together to worship. You can't do that. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one God. There's one Father of His people. One baptism. One hope of your calling. One way. One truth. One life. There's not many faiths. Billy Graham said there was other ways. You heard it with your own ears. You heard it with your own ears right here, didn't you? He said that. Him and Robert Schuller. Yes, people, that's what he said. You heard it, didn't you? Who are you going to believe, Christ or him? Christ said it would be so close, you'd deceive even the very elect. But he can't. The elect of God know, they can see through it. This is will worship. This is man worship. This is making more of man than it is God. We can't do this. And Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they said, "Now when it gets ready, you join with us." And they said in verse 16, oh, don't you love this story? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah answered the king and said, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We don't have to give it a second thought. We don't even have to pause. We're not going to do it." Verse 17. "If God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, He'll deliver us out of the king. But if He doesn't, we ain't bowing. We're not bowing. We will not worship and serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." These are the true people of God, the true circumcision, that worship God in spirit, from the heart, by the Holy Spirit of God, taking the things of Christ and showed, rejoice in Christ Jesus. They don't rejoice in their church. They don't rejoice in their works. They don't rejoice in what kind of goodness, good man they've become. They rejoice in Christ. And they have no confidence. No confidence. They don't use fleshly props. Because their spirit, their worship is in spirit. You know, Spurgeon once said that the term bigot originated with these martyrs that whom they would tell, the people would threaten them, false religion would threaten them to not preach the truth, not believe the truth, to recant and join with us. And they would say, "By God, we won't do it." Meaning, by God, by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, we will not bow. By God, we won't do it. And man has so abused that, corrupted that. But Spurgeon said that's where the term bigot came from. He's a bigot. Well, if that's what it means, that's what I am. We're not going to join with them. And they threw them in the furnace. Okay? And our Lord said, "You're going to be hated." And not might be. If you stand for the truth, our Lord said, "You will be hated. He said, they hated me. How could anybody hate the Lord Jesus Christ? How? They threw these three fellas in. They were fine fellas. No, none finer, none fairer. How could they hate these fellas? The truth. Christ said, you don't hate me for feeding your poor, because I'm God, and you don't like that. And they threw these three fellas in the furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar came to the furnace, remember? And he said in verse 24, he and his counselors, they all looked in the furnace. And they said, didn't we throw three fellas in that fire? They said, true, O king. And he said, look, verse 25, I see four. Threw them in with the coats on. Threw them in with the shoes on. Threw them in with the hats on in a hurry. And the king came and said, I see four loose walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt. Who's this fourth fella? And they said, it looks like the Son of God. Do you know that in chapter 3, Daniel's name is not mentioned? Chapter 3, it's like he disappeared. And then the story of these three fellows were there. Daniel not mentioned. Where was Daniel? The king had set him on the throne. He's reigning. He's ruling. He's praying. Are you with me? Where is Christ? You know, somebody, when my brother was killed in Vietnam, and God killed him. The Vietnamese didn't do it. God did it. His days were determined. The number of his months were set. He could not pass them. He took him at 21 years. Somebody said his life was cut short. No, it was not. No, it was not. It was exactly the days God determined before the world began. And so are yours. That's the God of the Bible. And there's only peace in a God like that. There's only comfort in a God like that. Why are you shouting? Because it needs to be shouted. Let the whole world hear it. Their God's not God. He's a bystander in the affairs of men. Who needs a God like that? People dying left and right, and he can't do anything. Well, I don't need him. And you don't either. But we need a God who has all things in his sovereign hands. A Jesus not standing outside our heart's door, seated on the throne, reigning and ruling. Ordering all things and sure. Waiting, expecting till his enemy be made his footstool. And everything fulfill his divine purpose, which he purposed in himself before the world began. That's Jesus Christ. Has it all under his sovereign control. And everybody that dies, he took them. According to his wisdom and purpose. That ain't right. Doesn't matter if you think it is or not. It is. Because that's who he is. And God's people say, amen. That's my God. That's my Christ. That's my hope. That's my peace. I can go to bed at night. Not worry about this and worry about that. Why? He's reigning. They threw Shadrach, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You try it. Mackie did a good job. They threw those fellas in that furnace. Well, where was God? Reigning. He said, put them in there. And lo and behold, when they got in there, Roberta, he got in there with them. And it doesn't matter what you go through, Catherine. He said, I'm ever present. I'm with you. Though they go through the fire, it won't burn them. It won't consume them. I'm with them. Because I'm God. See, this story is not about three men's faith. It's about Jesus Christ. He's unseen. He's unheard of here. Oh, he's there. He's there, all right. You look in the furnace. That's where he is. Three men came out. One man stayed in. Chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar tells his story. Melanie, you and I have talked about this. We believe Nebuchadnezzar was a saved man, don't we? He represents the most vile, free will worshiping Armenian false preacher. My dad was a false preacher, people. He was a false preacher. Successful. Pastor of the largest Southern Baptist church in Eastern Kentucky. 1,000 members. Didn't know God. Preaching a false gospel. But God sent a prophet, an evangelist named Rolf Marner, and cut his feet out from under him. One word slew him. Purpose. He began to know God. Split that church, brought that gold and silver and iron plate, brought her down. And 40 people left. Nebuchadnezzar tells his story in chapter 4, and I wanted to read so many things to you, oh my, about God working His will and the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. There's just not enough time to do that. But Nebuchadnezzar's story was that salvation's by the grace and mercy of God, that free will is a myth. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was a self-made man. Oh my, he became a beast. God brought him down to be a beast and to show him, you are nothing. And that psalm says, oh, that men may know themselves to be but just men. And God reigns. In chapter 5, another king and another image. Another fellow. Belteshazzar. Another king, same image. Same image. It goes on and on forever. Which brings us to chapter 6. And we're going to look at Wednesday night. The key to this book of Daniel is the key to every book in the Bible. Christ. He has the keys. The key to this book of Daniel is that man is in darkness and dead and trespasses and sin. Man can't choose God. He's dead. Man's in captivity to the god of this world. And his only hope is that God will send Christ to him, like Daniel, and reveal unto him the secret, the will, the purpose of God, which He purposed in Himself before the foundation of the world, to gather together in one, even in Christ, one in a kingdom set up for eternity, wherein Christ is the King. Oh, may God put you and put me in that kingdom to the praise of the glory of His grace. All right, John, if you'll come and lead us in a closing hymn. Number 50. Just sing a few verses, whatever you choose.